And we are going to say, I'm excited about the Word of God. Amen. Praise God. I tell you, when you get thrilled with it, when you get excited about it, and when you don't let it go in one ear and out the other, but you take it to heart and act on it, then it works for you. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we're gonna get into the Word of God this morning. And I think we'll just look at three passages and take the time to read these. And we'll Corinthians, Romans, and Ephesians. And we'll start in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Amen. Thank God for His Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Good to be with you this morning. Good to see you all. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, of course, known as the great love chapter. Beginning with verse number 4, it says, love suffers long, or love is patient and kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Now, you know, this is talking about love is patient with others. Love is kind toward others. When it says thinks no evil, my cross-reference says keeps no account of evil. In other words, love doesn't keep account of the evil done to us. In other words, love always forgives. Say love forgives. Verse number 6, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and loves all things, and love never fails, or love never comes to an end. And then let's also look at that. I'm backing up now. Let's go back to Romans chapter 13. And see something here. Romans 13, verse number 8. Romans 13, 8 says, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, and there is, and if there is any other commandment, they are all summed up in the saying, this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfillment of the law. Amen. If I love you, I won't lie about you. If I love you, I won't steal from you. If I love you, I won't cheat you. If I love you, I won't do you any harm. Amen. And then finally, let's read in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32. Ephesians chapter 4. Beginning with verse number 29, says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. Almost 57 years ago, about 47 years ago, I came back to the Lord, amen, as a backslidden Christian. And for the first time in my life, I fully, totally sold out to God. I mean, I'd always gone to church, but, you know, and lived for the Lord. But then I became a backslidden as a teenager. But now I came back. And when I came back, I mean, I just totally and wholly dedicated myself to walk with God. And I was very fortunate in those very first days that from people like Brother Kenneth Copeland, people like Brother Kenneth Hagin, that I heard them talk about love and forgiveness a lot. And that influenced me and set me on the right track from the very, very beginning. I remember Brother Copeland telling the story about how that he was asking God to give him more power, you know, because he wanted to help people. He said, I need more power. I want more healing power to flow through me, more of the delivering power of God to flow through me so that people can be blessed and so that people can be helped and so forth. And so he's asking God to give him more power. And he said in his spirit, he heard the Lord say, where am I going to get it? There is no more power. The problem is you just need to be a better vessel. You need to allow that power to flow through you. And you're doing some things that are hindering that power. And then he said, I saw a little mini, like M-I-N-I, a little mini vision. And he said, in this vision, he said, there was a pipe. He said, you know, it was about 5 or 6 feet long. And he said it was about 4 inches diameter. And the pipe was just 5 or 6 inches from my face. He said, on the other end of the pipe, he said, water was gushing into it, just like a waterfall was being, you know, cycled down just into that little floor, and it was just flowing into that pipe. But he said, on my end, it just came out as a little mist. And he said, it was almost aggravating, you know, just that's bothering me. You know, just it wasn't flowing out. And he said, the Lord showed him, he said, that's your spirit. He said, it's all clogged up with unforgiveness. He said, my power is flowing from heaven into you to be able to flow out to other people, but it can't flow out of you because you've got it all clogged up with unforgiveness. And he thought, well, Lord, I can't think of anything at all that I really just hold something against anybody. He goes, oh, it's not big things. You know better than that. He said, it's all them little bitty things. Just little bitty words you speak evil about somebody. And, you know, you're upset with this person and angry and don't like what this person said. He said, it's just the little things. You know, the Bible in the Old Testament said it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And, you know, if you ever clean out, anybody had to have to clean out your sink, you know, where it got stopped up, it probably wasn't something big in it, you know, like a whole washcloth or something. It was just little bitty things that you had to get in there. Margaret, actually, in our main bathroom, the one she and I use, you know, she has a little screen that she puts over our sinks, you know, to keep them from getting clogged up, so I don't have to pretend to be a plumber and get in there and don't like that. Amen. Glory to God. Well, you know, I heard that teaching, and I was immediately exposed to other good teachings along the lines of love and forgiveness. And I made up my mind. I made a dedication, a quality decision, as we say, all those years ago to never let the least bit of ill will or animosity in my heart, never have the least bit of ill will or animosity in my heart toward anybody, not to allow that. Amen. Glory to God. I made up my mind not to take offense, not to be offended at anybody, no matter what they did, no matter how they treated me. Glory to God. And so I've lived by that motto all these years. I absolutely refuse. I think I actually picked this up from Brother Hagin. But I absolutely refuse to allow the least bit of animosity or ill will in my heart against anybody. That's not all there is to the love of God, but that's the first major revelation. That's the first major revelation I got about what love is, real love. Can you say amen? Amen. Love refuses to take an offense. Love always forgives. And from that day until now, I've tried to keep my pipe clean. Because when Brother Hagin, Brother Copeland rather had that experience, he said, well, Lord, what do I do? He said, clean out your pipe. I asked me to forgive you for holding things against people and all these little things, you know, these little bits of animosity and so forth. Clean out your pipe and keep it clean so that my power can freely flow through you. And at that very moment, as I listened to that tape in those days, you know, I cleaned out my pipe. I realized there were people in my past that I was upset with. And, you know, a teacher that I had in the seventh grade and a guy I worked for just when I was 14 and 15 years old. And, you know, I mean, I just didn't think about these people every day. But when I did think about them, I'd go, I hate that guy. You know. And so I realized, you know, and so I cleaned out my pipe. And I've tried to live by that motto, you know, that I refuse to allow the least bit of ill will or animosity against anybody. Now, don't misunderstand me. I passed up some marvelous opportunities, just like you have, to hold a lot of things against a lot of different people. Glory to God. But you see, first and foremost, I want to obey God, and I want to please God. I want my faith to work. And make no mistake about it, faith will not work if you're not walking in love. And faith is how you receive from God. Faith is how you receive the grace of God. So the grace of God will not be manifest in your life if you have ill will and bitterness and unforgiveness against others. You see, I want my prayers to work. Amen. It's not the only hindrance to prayer, but it's the only one Jesus ever mentioned. It's not the only one, but Jesus, the main thing that he emphasized that was a hindrance to prayer and faith was unforgiveness. You know those scriptures. And you see, and then I want to keep the door shut on the devil. Because if I operate in unforgiveness and bitterness toward others, that opens the door to the devil. And he only comes in to steal and kill and destroy. And I don't want that, and you don't want that in your life. Amen? So I want to walk in health, and I want to walk in the blessings of God. And I want to live a long time on the earth. Can you say amen? So, for many reasons, amen, we should forgive others who wrong us. And listen, I want you to listen now, because I'm going to say some things to you here, I think, that I probably have never said this to you or brought it across in this fashion. So listen carefully. There comes times in your life where you have to separate yourself from people, even though you have forgiven them. Did you know I can find at least 7 places, I'll give you the scriptures if you want them, just see me and I'll run them off for you. I can find at least 7 places in the New Testament where God tells Christians not to associate with or to keep away with or have nothing to do with or have no company with other believers. That's interesting, isn't it? Now, there's other places where Paul warns about associating with wrong things, but I'm talking about at least seven places where he tells Christians to stay away with and have no fellowship with other Christians because they won't receive correction and they're causing trouble in the body of Christ or strife in the body of Christ, or they continue to openly practice some sin and they won't repent, and Paul says, stay away from them. You know, a new colloquial expression that has come on the scene just in the last few years is ghosting. You know what it is to ghost somebody? I mean, you disappear and vanish from their life because you don't want anything to do with them. You don't want them to contact you. You unfriend them from Facebook. You don't take their phone calls. You don't associate with them. You just disappear. That's why it's called ghosting. Amen. Well, is it scriptural to ghost people? Depends on the motive of your heart. Scripturally, under certain conditions, it's right to ghost people. But listen, it's always after every attempt by the individual or the whole group has been made to restore that person, to reconcile that person. You've forgiven that person. You're trying to restore them, and you're trying to restore them the relationship, and you're trying to get them to repent, and that's failed. Now you understand that that doesn't mean that you always have to go to the person, because we're always talking about you got to go to the person. Listen, there are some people that you just know in your spirit to go to them wouldn't help the situation. It would only aggravate the situation. They won't, you know, it's important that you allow people to speak into your life. And people are saying, well, you got to go speak into their life whether they want you to or not. No, that won't do any good. If you won't let somebody speak into your life, then you cut yourself off from your own blessing and your own, you know, protection. And so there's just sometimes, you know, that if you know, the Bible says to do good to them that hate you, so they're doing you wrong, and we can all tell the stories about sister so-and-so baked them a cake and took it to them or did something nice for them or took up an offering for them, and that broke down the strife and the barrier that was between them. And I can tell you 100 stories like that. But sometimes if you bake the person the cake, they're just going to be mad about it. And so you know that. So you just have to leave it alone. Amen. Praise God. You can't approach them because they won't allow it. Amen. You can't put yourself in a position to be continually abused. Paul told Timothy in 2 Corinthians 4:14, unless that's a 19, but he told him in 4:14 or 4:19, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. Now you think Paul forgave Alexander the coppersmith? You remember he withstood him. You can read about that in the book of Acts. He said he did me much evil. And he told Timothy, he said, watch out for him. Beware of him. Be careful, because he'll try and cause you trouble too. So in essence said, watch out for him and stay away from him. That didn't mean he didn't love Alexander the coppersmith. He just said you need to be on your toes and be on guard against him and not allow him to abuse you and hurt you like he tries to abuse me and hurt me and stop the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ from going forth. So we understand that. Can you say amen? But you see, even if the person that God tells you to not have anything to do with for different reasons, still you have to understand they are not your enemy. Say, they're not my enemy. In different translations, in 1 Corinthians 13, you can look it up in different translations. And one translation says, you don't gloat over their failures. Some Christians gloat over the failures of others. No, love doesn't gloat over other people's failures. Another translation says, love is not glad when others go wrong. I think my tongue is still frozen. Love is not glad when others go wrong. Another translation says it's willing to look over and not expose other people's faults and failures. And then it says, and I like it so much, it says, love never regards anyone as hopeless. You know, one translation says, I believe it's the Amplified, says, love believes the best of everyone. But in the end of that chapter of 1 Corinthians 13, even if you can't believe the best, even if you just can't, you still hope for the best. You still hope for the best. You don't view them as hopeless. You always believe for the best, and you never quit believing for them. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians 3:13, because I think this may help us understand some things I'm trying to get across here. 2 Thessalonians, are you with me out there? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 13. Paul is talking about a particular group of people that he tells them, other believers, not to keep company with. And he says, but if for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good, and if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him. Don't associate yourself with him. Ghost them. That he may be ashamed, but here's the balance. Do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him or warn him as an enemy. See, even if you can't reach somebody, even if they won't repent, even though you apologize, but they won't accept your apology, whatever, if you can't restore the person and they're still doing you dirty and they're still telling lies about you and they're still stabbing you in the back or whatever, from a scriptural viewpoint, the love of God says, they're not my enemy. I'm not against them. I'm going to separate myself from them for scriptural reasons, but I don't view them as my enemy. They're my brother in the Lord. If they keep going down this path they're going, they're going to, you know, miss out on the blessings of God and open the door to the devil in their own lives, and I don't want that for them. I love them. I care about them, and I'm not against them. Paul is saying, don't treat that person with animosity. Don't have any ill will toward them. Even though they may be wrong, very wrong in what they're doing, that doesn't justify us having any sort of unforgiveness toward that person. You understand that? The idea is to correct them and to restore them, not punish them. Amen. And if all you want to do is punish them and justify your anger toward them, then you probably have not really forgiven them. Can you say amen? You remember in 1 Corinthians, the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul is dealing with a man that was caught up in sexual immorality. The Bible says he was sleeping with his father's wife, obviously his stepmother. And so Paul said, turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. I mean, Paul said, look, I've already judged him, and I've turned him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. But in 2 Corinthians, the man had obviously repented. And so Paul told the church, he said, listen, forgive him, comfort him, and reaffirm your love for him. See, this was, you know, you read in the Bible about notable miracles. Well, his sin was a notable sin. I mean, he's, you know, his own father's wife. And so Paul says, he's repented, so you are to forgive him, you're to comfort him, and reaffirm him. So, see, correction and the withdrawal of fellowship was to help him. Not destroy him, not treat him as an enemy, but to win him back as a brother. And then Paul said about that very same situation in 2 Corinthians 2:11, talking about the man that I'm telling you need to forgive this man now. He said, because if you don't, listen to this, he said, if you don't, Satan will take advantage of you. How many of you want Satan to take advantage of you? Oh, no hands. Me either. Smart bunch. Glory to God. But here's the deal. Sometimes people do ghost others because they have hard feelings and unforgiveness toward them. And they try to mask it behind, oh, no, I'm just being spiritual. The reason they don't want anything to do with them is because they're mad at them and they're angry with them and they're upset with them. Amen? And I notice sometimes Christians try to use the other person's wrong or perceived wrong as an excuse to justify some sort of wrong feelings, hard feelings toward them, glory to God. And so they ghost them for wrong reasons. You know, you hear them talk, you can see it on social media, that they post things. You know? And some people post a lot of things about how other people are always doing them dirty and treating them wrong. I mean, that's the main thing they post. And after 4 or 5 years of hearing them every week and a half talk about somebody else has done them dirty, I'm going, maybe the problem lies within you. And the way they word things, I know they do it much more poetically sometimes, and they really make it trying to sound spiritual than I'm going to make it sound here. But they say, you know, listen, I'm walking in love. I know I'm supposed to forgive them. I forgive them. I'm mature. I stay out of offense, even though they're a dirty, rotten scoundrel. Really? They're a dirty, rotten scoundrel, and I don't need them in my... God just showed me I didn't need them. God took them in my... I don't need them in my life anymore. Hashtag, you know who I'm talking about. I don't need them in my life anymore. I'm leaving it in God's hand to avenge me. The implication is, get them, God. Destroy their lives. Kill them. I forgive them, the poor slob. But I'm not going to let their problem become my problem. Can you imagine Jesus having a Facebook page? And you know, so, Jesus posted something today. Man, I want to read that one. Wouldn't you want to read it? Jesus said, you remember on the cross how I forgave everybody that crucified me? I did. I forgave them all. Besides that, I realized I didn't need any of them in my life anymore. Really? On the cross, I forgave everyone, including that backstabbing, low-life disciple that betrayed me. And the one who was supposed to be my good friend, but denied that he even knew me in my greatest hour of need. And that mealy-mouthed government official who knew I was innocent all the time. Hashtag again, you all know who I'm talking about. I forgave everybody on the cross. But listen, God saw what they did to me too. And I'm just letting him deal with it. I forgive them all. But I hope he throws them in hell and they rot there forever. Somebody says, well, doesn't the Bible say don't avenge yourselves, but let God avenge you? Yes, but the idea is just leave it in the hands of God. You have nothing to do with it. I got some bad news for you. God's probably going to show them mercy, just like he's shown you mercy and shown me mercy. And if he needs to take some sort of corrective action, that's in his hands. We have nothing to do with that. That's not our goal, you know, because a lot of times the goal is not have God punish them and destroy them, but to have God deal with it. Amen. Praise God. Listen. And I love you. I love you. I really love you. How many of you know I love you? I love you. And I'm talking to myself as much as I'm talking to you. But, you know, 1 Corinthians 13, other translation says, love believes the best of every person. If you're really walking in love, you believe the best of others. And you don't believe that everybody's out to get you. I had to overcome that. You know, I don't know where that came from. Going back 50 years, it just seemed like everybody's out to get me. Well, not everybody's out to get you. And listen. Are you listening? If almost everybody else but you, thinks that the coach or the pastor or the boss or the teacher or the youth leader or the car director, if almost everybody thinks they're a fair person, an honest person, a good person, a decent person, not perfect, but a good person, but you, then maybe, just maybe, you're the one with the problem. I'm smiling. Maybe your insecurity is the real problem. Maybe your touchiness is the real problem. Maybe your rebellious attitude toward anybody in authority is the real problem. Maybe your refusal to take correction from anybody is the real problem. Maybe you're an overprotective parent to the detriment of your child. Maybe that's the real problem, not the school teachers. Boy, I noticed they're mad at so-and-so again. Hey, man, they're mad at that seventh grade teacher. Yeah, they was mad at the sixth grade teacher, the fifth grade teacher, the fourth grade teacher, the third grade teacher, the second grade teacher, and they've been in four different schools over the last 7-8 years. Hallelujah. Moving on. So I realized a long, 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 long time ago I needed to forgive others. Can you say amen? And as time went on, I realized a lot of people's view of love was primarily focused on how they react to people that wrong them and hurt them. In other words, almost every teaching on love that you would hear was, what do you do when people treat you dirty, people treat you wrong, people persecute you, people hurt you in some kind of way. And that's very true, because you have to learn how to react in love. Glory to God. And it is. It's extremely important, as we said, that we forgive and not get offended. But there's more to it than just reacting to the way others treat us. What about the way we treat them? See, love, real love, treats other people the right way. And so I realized that I needed, I'm talking about myself and my journey and my walk of love over these years, I realized that I'm not to be the one causing offense. I don't take offense, but I'm not to be the one causing offense. In other words, we're not to wrong others who mistreat us, but we're not to go out and mistreat others. Amen. You know, Jesus said, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. That's the golden rule. Treat others as you want to be treated. Glory to God. If you don't want them polluting the water upstream of you, then don't you pollute the water for people down below you. Hallelujah. So love doesn't take offense and love doesn't give offense. And I've said that over the years and preached on that many different times. I don't take offense, but I also don't give offense. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. And again, I'm not perfect, but glory to God. But if I realize I was hurting somebody else, I needed to repent, then I want to be what do I want to be? Quick to repent. Everybody say quick to repent. Quick to repent. And so these things are very serious to me and very, 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 very special to me. I refuse to take up any offense or hold any unforgiveness against others, and I endeavor not to cause offense or give offense to others. Glory to God. Amen. See, real love is more than just forgiving others. It also treats the other person right. And so when you really begin to live this way, you begin to view things from other people's viewpoint. You say, well, if I was in their shoes, then I might have thought that also. I might have taken the wrong approach. So you really do begin to think about them. I talked about those couple of people that I realized, you know, as I realized I need to walk in love. I realized that the people that I didn't think about these guys every day, but I mentioned that seventh grade teacher, and I mentioned that guy I worked for. You know, and I just didn't think about them every day, but I realized when I did think about them, it was, you know, very hard feelings toward them. But as I begin to really allow the love of God, you know, flow through me and come out of me, I realized it wasn't all their fault. Now, before that, I just thought, you know, take them out back and shoot them. Go burn their house down or something. Or at least egg their house, which I did to the one guy. Wait, we shouldn't be laughing about that. But you see, that seventh grade teacher, I had him, and he didn't like me, and I didn't like him. And we just didn't get along. You know what I'm talking about? The whole year. He's actually what they call my homeroom teacher. Anybody ever have a homeroom teacher? You'd go to homeroom, and then you'd go to your classes. So it was the last day of school, and he's my homeroom teacher, and he's passing out everybody's report cards. You know, of course, my name's Strickland, so I don't come to the end of the alphabet. But nonetheless, when he gets to my name, he just puts it at the bottom, doesn't call my name, gives out everybody else's. And then he's left with one card in his hand. Everybody wants to go home. It's last day of school. Summer. School's out forever, you know. And so he still just holds mine in his hands. And he talks to other people and talks to this one and talks to the other one. And he put it behind his back. And, you know, this goes on for 5 or 10 minutes. So I went up behind him and I violently snatched it out of his hands. Well, that flew all over him and he turned around. Now I'm a teenager. I'm a seventh grader. Remember what it's like to be a teen? You know, you don't want to be embarrassed about anything. And he turned around and he grabbed me and picked me up. And then he kind of realized what he was doing and caught himself and let me down. Oh, man. I hate you. But years later, as I begin to, you know, walk in love and think about love and look, when I look back on him, I realize, well, you know, he did give me a hard time, but I probably gave him a much, much harder time in return. And I snatched that out of his hands as violently as I could, wanting to make a statement. And I treated him equally as bad as he treated me. And you really do begin to realize that when you walk in love toward others, that you know, that you have a responsibility. Somebody says there's your side, there's their side, and then there's the right side. Well, sometimes that's not always true, but sometimes that is the truth. Sometimes there is another side to the story. And when you view things from their side of the story, then you know, the Bible says we ought to be tenderhearted and compassionate, not hard-hearted and mean and cruel. With your parents, with your children, with your wife, with your husband, with your spouse. Amen. So real love. Everybody say real love. Real love. Glory to God. I'm not even going to get anywhere near where I want to get to this morning. Real love is more than not taking up offense. Glory to God. It doesn't give offense. Amen. Let's just do this. Let's go to Mark chapter 5. Let's stay in this same vein. And then we'll just pick this up next week. Matthew chapter 5. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Lord, we can do this. We can do this. Early on, I also realized that real love goes beyond forgiveness. It's not just forgiving them, but real love repays or returns mistreatment with kindness and mercy and good. In other words, if they do me dirty, I'm not going to turn around and do them dirty. I'm going to forgive them. But beyond that, not only am I not going to do them wrong, I'm going to do them good. That's what real love does. Hallelujah. I always like that story from Marilyn Hickey. How many of you know who Marilyn Hickey is? You know, Marilyn Hickey is close to 90 years old, or she may be beyond 90 now. She's having crusades over in Muslim countries where 100,000, 200,000 people come. Incredible. But Marilyn Hickey, back when she was pastoring her church there in Colorado, her and her husband, there was another guy in town, and he didn't like her. Mostly he didn't like it because she was a woman preacher, and he didn't believe in woman preachers. So he ridiculed her and talked about her from the pulpit, had a radio program, and even called her name on the radio and talked about her and talked bad about her. Now, if you've had people talk bad about you before in your life, haven't you? Have you ever got anybody on the radio call your name out and talk bad about you on the radio? I mean, that'd be fun, wouldn't it? And so she said, you know, of course she didn't like it. She's just like you. You have to imagine, if this was happening to me, how would I like it? She didn't like it. He was persecuting her. He was saying things about her that were very unkind and maybe untrue and so forth. And so she said, well, I'm going to walk in love. I forgive him. But beyond that, she said, I'm going to do what the Word of God says. You know, Jesus said to do good to them that persecute you and come against you. And so she found out that his church was struggling financially. And so you know what she did? At her rather large church, she took up a big offering and they sent it to him. Well, he got that offering and accepted it, of course. But that broke everything. It wasn't but a couple of months later that this man who had been persecuting her, and especially for being a woman preacher, he had Marilyn Hickey come to his church and preach from his pulpit to his congregation. Everybody say, love's the best way. So love goes beyond just not returning evil for evil. The Bible tells us not to do that. But not only does love not return evil for evil, it actually repays evil with kindness and mercy and goodness. Look at what Jesus said here in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 43. You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you. They're talking bad about you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. That means they mistreat you in some way or hurt you in some way and or persecute you. Amen. So love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who mistreat you or persecute you. So real love, mature love, forgets about self. It doesn't return evil for evil, or lie for lie, or cursing for cursing. It's not concerned about protecting its rights. It's concerned about the person that's coming against them and their relationship with the Lord and what's going on in their life. Amen. It doesn't try to get even with the person. It doesn't try to get everybody on its side to be against the person. Amen. Real love forgives, but beyond that, real love's prays for them and does them good and blesses those who have mistreated them and cursed them and harmed them in some way. Paul wants, the real love rather, God wants, Paul also, but real love wants that person to be restored and brought to repentance, to come back around. Amen. Instead of just thinking about they hurt me, they're a dirty dog. How am I going to get even with them? I don't need them in my life anymore. No, real love says, I want to do something for them. I'm going to pray for them, Lord. Your flesh may not want to do it, but real love says, I want them to be turned around. I want them to come back to the Lord. And then don't ignore, because everybody reads those verses, but don't ignore the rest of this in verses 45 through 48. Look at it, Matthew 5, 45. Listen to what he says. He said, you do these things that you may be the sons, the adult sons is the way it could be translated, that you may be adult sons or mature sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? See, you see somebody and, now, I know that sometimes you see somebody and you avoid them for just because you're in a hurry and can't get caught up in an hour-long conversation. But if you see somebody and you go, I've forgiven them. Have you? You can't even greet them and speak a kind word to them? Jesus said, if you only greet those who love you and care about you and are for you and on your side, then you're no different than a sinner or a tax. Anybody can do that. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect. Don't let that throw you. The word perfect there means if you want to be spiritually mature, if you want to be spiritually whole and spiritually holy, mature and holy and whole and complete, amen. Therefore you shall be spiritually mature just as your Father in heaven is perfect because you do those things. So when you love those, your enemies, and you bless those who curse you, and you do good to those who hate you, and you pray for those who mistreat you, glory to God, amen, hallelujah, forgetting about your rights, you're just saying, no, you know what they're saying about you. You say, well, what they're saying about me, other people are going to believe it, and they're going to think bad about me, or my boss is going to believe it and not promote me. No, you're just going to believe that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You're going to believe that love wins. Glory to God. You're going to cast your care over in the Lord. You're going to pray for them anyway. You're going to do them good anyway. You're going to operate in faith, believing that you are protected. And when you do those kind of things, God will heal your hurts, your raw emotions, and God will vindicate you, and God will protect you. And if necessary, God will, amen, avenge you. Glory to God. But most importantly, your love for them, not just forgiving them, but not repaying, and not just not repaying them with evil, but repaying them with good. That's going to be redeeming. That God can use that to win that person over, to reach that person, to bring them to God, or bring them back to God. And that's what you really want. That's what real love wants. To win that husband back, to win that wife back, to win that child back, to win that friend back. Glory to God. And that's what we want. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. That's enough for this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, but we're not talking about Mickey Mouse Christianity. But we're talking about God, who is love. And love is the most powerful force on the universe. I always like the story of Nicky Cruz. You remember Dave Wilkerson? Dave Wilkerson was a pastor, and the Lord led him to go to the streets of New York City, and he went to the roughest areas where the gangs were there, and where there was drugs and stabbings and murders and so forth. And Nicky Cruz was a gang leader, one of the worst of the worst. And so David Wilkerson is there, and he's preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to those people. And Nicky didn't like it, you know, because he was touching people's hearts, and some people were getting saved. And so Nicky met David Wilkerson on the streets one day. He said, I pulled out my switchblade. And he said, I told him, I said, preacher, I'm going to cut you into 1,000 different pieces. And David Wilkerson said to him, he said, if you do, every piece is going to cry out to you, I love you, Nicky. I love you, Nicky. I love you, Nicky. And then Nicky said, I couldn't cut him. I couldn't stab him. Now listen. He didn't say, I couldn't stab him because he touched my heart and he melted me and he won me over. And I said, oh, preacher, you're right. I don't want to cut you. No, he says, I tried to stab him. I was still going to cut him. He said, but my hand would not move. My hand wouldn't go forward. I physically couldn't do it even though I wanted to. Does that sound like something weak and ineffective? Well, that's the most powerful force. He came against the most powerful force of the universe, God. He came against God's love. And love never fails. And love always wins. So we have to put aside. I know. I mean, none of us like to be mistreated. None of us like to be betrayed. None of us like to be talked bad about. Glory to God. But we have to put that all aside and just do what Jesus said, because he told us to do it. But realize, if we pay good for evil, then that's your best chance of helping that person. And that's what love wants. Love wants to help them. Can you say amen? Say this with me. Say, the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. I shall endeavor to let that love nature dominate me. I have God's love nature in my heart. Therefore, I'll not let my human reasoning dominate me. I refuse to allow the flesh to dominate me. I'm going to walk in the Spirit by walking in love. I'm a lover, not a hater. I will practice and exercise the fruit of love so that it can grow and increase in my life. One way I will practice the God kind of love is I'll take no thought for a suffered wrong. I'll keep no record of the wrongs done to me. I will return good for evil. I will pray for my enemy and do them good. And I'll believe the best of every person. And my love will grow and develop so that I can be a blessing to many. And I absolutely refuse to hold anything against anybody. I refuse to talk bad about others. Love wins, and I win because I walk in love. Now give God praise for that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Praise you, Father. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. How important this is to all of us. Peter said this. He says, not returning evil for evil. What he's written in the Greek is never do this. Never return evil for evil. Reviling for reviling. That's cursing for cursing. Sarcasm for sarcasm. Evil word for evil word. You don't speak evil to people and don't speak evil about people. Cutting words that cut people down. Critical words. Not returning evil for evil. But on the contrary, I wonder where you got this from. Bless them. And know that you were called for this, so that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days. That means if you want to live a long time on the earth, and if you want to live a victorious life where we overcome the challenges of life. He who would love life and see good days. Those aren't good days when you can't overcome. Anybody can be challenged, but you can overcome in Christ. But those aren't good days if you can't overcome. That means you're defeated. Let him refrain his tongue from evil. And the specific evil that he's talking about is using your tongue to criticize and cut down and hurt others. Well, that's a powerful scripture. He who would love life, say, I love life. And I want to see good days. So I refrain my tongue. I restrain my tongue from being critical of others. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bow your heads, close your eyes real quick. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to, you know, it's real simple. All you have to do is say, I admit that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I recognize that. I cannot save myself. I can't be good enough to earn God's blessings. But Jesus died on the cross for me. He took my place. So I recognize that I am a sinner and I am in need of a Savior. And Jesus is that Savior. He died on the cross, was raised from the dead. And the Bible says, if I believe and take him and receive him as my Lord and Savior, then I will become a Christian and my sins will be washed away, praise God. Now become a new creature in Christ Jesus. So if that's you, and I'm not going to call you out, I'm not going to call you to the front, I'm just between you and God. I'm going to pray with you right where you're standing. If that's you, while everybody is praying and their heads are bowed, if that's you and you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, lift your hand for me, please, right now. Let me pray for you. Glory to God. Amen. Okay, okay, okay. Look at me, look at me. Okay, Lord, okay, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't look at me. Close your eyes again. Sorry. Need to clean out your pipe this morning? Have anything against anybody that you need to let go of? It's real simple. You just say, God, I forgive them. Forgive me for holding unforgiveness against them. And I forgive them, Father. And I refuse to hold it against them anymore. And I pray for them and I ask you to help them and bless them and do whatever you can for them and help them in any way that you can to restore them into right relationship with you. But I forgive them, and from this day forward, I'll never hold anything against them. I'll never hold anything against that person again. If it comes to my memory, I'll say, no, you don't, devil. I've already forgiven them. They are forgiven. Praise God. And I don't hold anything against them in Jesus' name. Glory to God. There's the anointing of God, people. There's the corporate anointing of God flowing in this building right now. Hallelujah. Because when you forgive, it releases the power of God to come in to forgive you. Not only to forgive you, but to heal you. The healing power of God is here right now. You need healing, just reach up and say, I take it by faith in Jesus' name. I receive forgiveness for myself, and I receive my healing. Glory to God. I forgive them, Lord. And I ask you to help them and bless them in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Amen. 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 Well, God bless you. I'm glad you got out in the cold this morning. It's warm in here. Hey, I got good news for you. It might be, well, it's probably still in the teens, but it's soon it's going to be out of the teens for the rest of the day. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Christ is my firm foundation.